Deep Britain Radio.
Britain Radio and the new Radio Dolphin continued broadcasting.
Peter van den Hoven presenteert de middagshow van Radio Dolphin op 227 meter. Radio Dolphin.
Around the clock, for all the best in music, turn to us. Around the clock, for news and information, turn to us. Around the clock, for sounds of the smart set. Now don't you forget, turn to Hallmark of Quality Britain Radio.
You're listening to Britain Radio, 355 meters in the medium wave band. This is Britain Radio, up-to-the-minute news. Tom Cooper reporting the news at 9 o'clock. The Supervisors and Technicians Union is to start legal action to challenge the government's order to stop Thorn Electrical Industries paying its members an increase. The union's general secretary, Mr. Clyde Jenkins, said that they've advised that the order might be ineffective and we're going to test it out. In Italy, troops have been working through the night repairing the broken dikes. The river is continuing to rise and more storms are forecast. It'll be rather warm in England and Wales today. That's the Britain Radio News at 9 o'clock. Tom Cooper reporting. Next news on the hour.
Hi, hello, and how are you? This is Alan Black welcoming you to the Tuesday morning edition of... Yes, indeed, what is the title? It's Morning Serenade, of course. How could I make such a mistake? I'm not awake yet. That's the trouble, you see? It's 3 minutes after 9 o'clock. I know I should be awake, but it'll take me a few more minutes to wake up. And while I do, why don't we hear something from Cliff Richard in Latin Star Zone? Here he is with Esso Besso.
As the new year of 1967 began, the Don Pearson Bill Vick management team, who had run the laissez-faire from the beginning, began to falter. The Radio England Britain Radio project, which had begun with such high hopes, had so far been a sad tale of failure and disappointment. Amid speculation of financial irregularities and growing unease by the original backers, pressure was being applied on Pierre Vick to hand over the management of the ship. The new managing director was to appear very soon, and from quite an unexpected direction.
390 time is now just after 6 o'clock. Radio 390 presenting Eve, the woman's magazine of the air, takes you stateside.
Director and the secretary faced summonses for unlawfully using a wireless transmitter without a license.
When the hearing started, Sir Peter Rawlinson QC, his appearing for Radio 390, immediately...
Radio 390 had been receiving its share of troubles, with a protracted court case brought about by the British Post Office. The trials centred around whether 390's Red Sands Tower was within territorial waters. The managing director of 390 was Ted Albury, a former colonel in the Army Intelligence Corps, and later to achieve a great deal of success as a writer. Ted remembers his departure from 390 after a boardroom disagreement. Britt Wagner, the Swedish pirate radio station owner, had offered to rent 390 her radio ship, the Cheetah 2.
I was offered then by the Swedish lady the boat, because it was obvious that we would be safer on the boat. Because of this case in court, we were more vulnerable to attack by the post office and the law in general than somebody on a boat. And my fellow directors wouldn't agree to letting this lady share in our profits for having the boat and its equipment for nothing. And at that point I walked out.
Ted Albury was soon to find himself running a radio ship, not the Cheetah 2, but the laissez-faire.
Well, the people who owned and ran the laissez-faire had been in touch with me on several occasions saying, you know, is there something that we could do to merge or, you know, have you run our operation for us? I'd put this up to my fellow directors who wouldn't have any of it. So having had this contact fairly frequently, and I liked their attitude because the people who owned that operation actually cared about radio. They were gung-ho, they were mainly Texans, and I rather liked them, and once I was working for them, I liked them even more. I think what was typical of them was when I was considering moving to them, when all this hoo-ha was going on the board of Radio 390, I said, well, I'd like to have a look through your books and your records and so on, which they let me do. And they said, you know, what do you advise? And I said, quite frankly, I advise you not to throw good money after bad, because you're merely going to lose more money by hanging on until the act comes in. And they said, for heaven's sake, you know, we're Texan gentlemen. How much money would it take to hang on till the end? And I told them, and it was far more than had ever gone into Radio 390. And they said, yes, all right, well, if you'll run it, we'll put that money up for you to continue running it. And I was very impressed by that.
Ted Albury left 390 to set up his own company, Carstead Advertising, together with John Withers, who coincidentally was Tony Windsor's brother. From now on, Britain Radio and Radio Dolphin would be run by them. Britain Radio would be renamed Radio 355, and it would adopt the same format as 390. Immediately, Jack Curtis, Britain Radio's general manager, resigned for, as he put it,
professional and personal reasons.
Ted Albury had called Britain Radio's sound a lucky dip. Curtis had retaliated by calling the proposed program format of 355
Stone Age Radio. It's a series of segmented dirges stitched together by sterile announcements.